Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick Goodreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. Once people learn about the treatment of egg-laying hens, their next thought, their next question is usually, well, what about free-range eggs? I'll just buy free-range eggs since the hens aren't harmed or confined. It's a reasonable leap to make. Nobody wants to contribute to the suffering of another, and I think our intentions are really good when we seek out foods labeled free-range or cage-free or cruelty-free. The problem is that though these phrases evoke images of happy animals who actually have control over their own lives and their own bodies, they don't necessarily reflect reality. And if we truly want to be informed and conscious consumers, we owe it to the animals to learn about this reality, to learn the truth. And we owe it to ourselves too, so we can be sure that our own values aren't being compromised whenever we make any purchasing decision. So in response to the question, what about free-range eggs? Here are my thoughts. Contrary to what most people believe, the term free-range, especially in the case of birds, doesn't really tell you anything about the animal's quality of life, nor does it even ensure that the animal actually goes outdoors. Most people don't know that. So you see, free-range chicken eggs have no legal definition in the United States. Free-range egg producers have no common standard on what the term means. There's no regulation regarding how the word is interpreted or used. For instance, many egg farmers sell their eggs as free-range merely because their cages are 2 or 3 inches above the average size, or because there's a window in the shed. It's essentially a meaningless term. It's not a legal industry term by any means. And egg producers know what the public wants. Egg producers know that the public has a desire for guilt-free eating, so they use this term to appease the customer's conscience, and it's working. They know that if they label their products free-range, it implies that they practice a more humane standard of production, right? Well, let me tell you a story about the disparity between the animal-friendly label and the reality for the hens themselves. From 2002 to 2005, the majority of U.S. egg producers labeled their egg cartons with a logo that read Animal Care Certified. So this evokes a particular kind of image, right? Especially that the animals are treated humanely. Despite this image conveyed by such a message, the hens who were laying Animal Care Certified eggs were still subjected to the same terrible abuses I described in a previous audio editorial. Intensive confinement, debeaking, forced molting, untreated illnesses, etc. So in 2003, Compassion Over Killing, which is a small grassroots animal protection organization based in Washington, D.C., they filed legal petitions with federal agencies as well as with the Better Business Bureau, alleging that these producers were engaged in misleading advertising based on investigations they had conducted inside so-called Animal Care Certified egg farms. You can view the results of these investigations, by the way, on their website, which is www.cok.net. So these investigations went on for 2 years until finally, in September 2005, the Federal Trade Commission announced that the Animal Care Certified logo was indeed deceptive and no longer allowed on egg cartons. As of March 31st, 2006, it was an amazing victory for the animals and for the consumers as well, who had been duped into believing they were purchasing some kind of humane product. Really, unless you visit the farm yourself, it's impossible to know for certain how the hens are treated. In fact, as I just mentioned, the common cruelty industry practices used in factory farms also take place on these free-range farms. They also tend to buy their chicks from the conventional hatcheries that kill the male chicks at birth. We discussed that again in that egg editorial. And of course, in the end, all the birds are slaughtered. And the slaughter process is anything but humane. And remember, poultry, that's all birds. That's egg-laying hens, chickens raised for meat, turkeys, geese, ducks, and rabbits. Rabbits are considered poultry under the USDA. None of these animals are covered under the Humane Slaughter Act. However unenforced that act is, these animals aren't even covered under that. You know, no matter where she comes from or how she was raised, every hen is killed for meat when her egg production wanes. Most people don't realize that. Usually it's after 1 or 2 years of being in these cages. And in a natural environment, a hen could live up to 15 years. free-range egg farming is above all else a business. I think we tend to forget that. And the desire for profit will always surpass any concern for the animals, for their comfort or welfare or behavioral needs. And that's the problem. When we treat living, feeling beings as commodities, we invite abuse. It's really inevitable. So, well, why do we have to abuse them, you might ask? What about a truly honest free-range system where higher standards are in place and the animals really are treated well? Well, it's a good question, but think about it. How possible is it to have an animal-based food system that's also economically viable, that isn't cruel or unjust or based on violence, in other words, based on killing? How can you have a slaughter-free animal agriculture system that wouldn't be prohibitively expensive? So imagine, for example, 250 million male chicks are killed at the hatcheries every year. Now, these are the chicks that are born at the hatcheries, half of whom are female for the egg industry and half of whom are male. Well, the male chicks, not having been bred to grow quickly enough for meat production, are useless to the egg industry. So they're killed at birth. Literally, those precious little yellow fuzzy chicks that everybody goes gaga over. When they're a day old, they're killed. They're either suffocated or they're thrown into what are called macerators, and they're ground up alive. 250 million every year. Now, in this cruelty-free, slaughter-free system that so many of us imagine, they would be allowed to live out their lives, right? Well, who's going to take care of them? They need water, they'll need food, they'll need land, they'll need shelter, they'll need health care. Who is going to support them throughout their lives? We're talking about, again, 10 or 15 years. And what about the hens themselves? They're killed when their egg production declines. There are 290 million hens being confined in battery cages as I speak, and they're killed at about 18 to 24 months. So let's say about half of that number are killed every year, half of the 290 million. So let's say 140 million hens who are spent hens after their egg production declines, they would be allowed to live out their lives. Well, in this idyllic no-slaughter system that people tend to imagine when they think of free-range, this free-range system would be the answer. Who's going to feed them and house them and take care of their health needs? And just to make the point, by the way, we're also talking about 2 million dairy cows who go to slaughter every year when their milk production wanes. Who's going to care for them? Cows can live up to 25 years. The other problem with this idealized vision of a free-range, animal-based food system is that that's the very system that got us here in the first place. That's been the foundation. Many people imagine or remember the days when small farmers raised animals themselves and they killed them themselves and they worked the land and they knew their stock, right? This really romanticized vision of the American farm, red barn and all, chickens dust bathing and cattle grazing. But the problem is that that's the very system upon which we built the industrialized system we see today. Do you see what I mean? And as long as our foundation is animals are here for us, they're here for us to eat, they're here for us to manipulate, to exploit, to confine, to kill, there's no end to what we can do to them. And we're pushing that envelope every day. Just read about some of the things happening in laboratories to farm animals and other animals. So we have the system that assumes a dominance over other species. And by virtue of having this setup, one group will always be inferior, and that group, in this case, is non-humans. So it just lends itself to the kind of mechanized system we have today. It is inevitable that we would wind up back here again. Profit will always take precedence over the feelings of the animals, always take precedence. So if a no-slaughter, free-range, animal-based food system isn't the answer, and clearly it's not, it's not possible, then what is? Well, obviously, my perspective is that we build our diet on plant foods, all the wonderful foods that help us thrive. They use much fewer resources than animal-based products. They have the ability to feed more people. And, you know, they truly reflect the values of a species, the human species, who perceives itself pretty highly. We think of ourselves as kind. We think of ourselves as humane and compassionate. We see ourselves as the moral, sophisticated, intelligent species. And I really think we are not reflecting those values and that perception of ourselves in our behavior and in our treatment of other animals and our treatment of each other. You know, we say we want to be better than we were a generation ago or two generations ago. That's the point of being human, right? That we learn from our mistakes. And we make better choices when we know better. Well, we are making serious mistakes right now, and the cost is incredibly high for the animals themselves, for our own spirits, for our health, for the earth. My hope for all of us is that we make choices that truly reflect what we say we care about. When we live in alignment with our values, the results are incredible, believe me. But in order to do that, we really have to know what's going on first. And I really appreciate you listening today. So visit CompassionateCooks.com if you want more information, more resources for recipes. And thanks again for listening.